Tell us about this next story.
Well, 3 days after that amazing July 7th Eastfield event, Charles Mallett, who's manager of the Silent Circle Cafe near Churhill, Wiltshire, had gone to see this massive Eastfield wheat formation, and he was gathering some soil and plant samples. And above him, suddenly, he said that he's been in crop fields a lot, and he has seen, as I have and others, we've seen helicopter activity. But he said that what suddenly came down above him, and he said it couldn't have been more than 50 feet above his head, if not lower. He said it was huge, it was black, it was unmarked. And as it was hovering, he said it was so intimidating that I had to keep telling myself, whoever is flying is not going to crash that expensive machine into me and the Eastfield, and they're not going to start strafing with bullets in front of all the people here. And he said that's what kept him where he was. Now, not only has the helicopter activity over the Eastfield been very aggressive toward people, the unidentified choppers have emitted something that smells bad, burns people's eyes, makes them feel nauseated, even to vomiting, and has caused a radiation dosimeter to climb above safe levels. A few days ago, I talked with longtime crop formation investigator Andy Buckley, a professional graphic artist from Winsford, Cheshire, England. He has been concentrating on the Eastfield since the big July 7th event, keeping his videotape camera running as the helicopters have appeared. And keep in mind that what he's describing, he has on videotape, and he has been showing people his videotape so they know that what you're going to hear now, people have been seeing in England with their eyes on his video. And Andy begins with what happened to him on last Monday, July 16th.
When I arrived at what's known as the silage pit, which is just off the Eastfield, I was actually on foot as I was walking down the road. I noticed there were some vehicles parked. They were what I describe as white vans. They were unmarked. There were three of them. And there was a person standing by one of the vans. And I could see in the field somebody in the formation. And I assumed that they were from the vehicles. So I walked past the van, and I was about to walk into the field. And the person who was standing by one of the vans came up to me and said, "Excuse me, where do you think you're going?" And I said, "Well, I'm just going to have a look at the formation." He said, "You do realize this is private property." And he said something to the effect, "I'm acting on behalf of the farmer," and said some kind of exercise going on. So would I stay out of the field? I said, "Well, all right, but can you tell me what's going on?" And he said, "No."
Andy, did you ask him who he represented?
Wasn't dressed in military fatigues or anything. He looked rather official. So at that point, I mentioned the farmer. And so I mentioned that I knew Tim Carson, and he didn't really respond. He said he hadn't heard of anybody called Tim Carson. But at that point, I was getting sort of fed up with this, so I'm just going to go in the field and see what reaction I get. So I walked towards the field, and he kind of walked towards me and kind of blocked my way and said, "You'd be still advised to go in there at the moment, and all I have to do is to ring the farmer." And I said, "Well, I know the farmer. You've just kind of denied that you know him." I tried to draw him into a conversation. What I've written down, I've written some notes in my notepad after it'd gone, and he said that there were personnel. He used the word personnel in there. They actually returned while I was standing there. These guys, I saw them walking back down the tram lines, and they... It was rather strange. There were about, I'd say, four or five of them, and they appeared to be wearing the same gear, and which looked rather odd. They were wearing what I describe as white coveralls, and when they got actually out of the field, they were carrying samples. They'd obviously taken plant samples out. They were carrying wheat and stuff they'd put into bags, and they were carrying these things, and they went to one of the vans and opened up the back and put them in the back. One of the guys was carrying a lot of equipment that looked to me like either photographic equipment or other equipment. They didn't speak to me. The chap who I spoke to earlier seemed to be the commander-in-chief. He was telling them what to do and getting the vans and everything else. before he went, I kind of made a last attempt to draw him into conversation, but he wasn't having it. But he asked me if I knew whether anybody else was likely to be coming in the formation that morning. And I said, why are you asking me that question? And he said, well, you'd be advised to stay out of it because there was going to be some kind of military activity there, and it would be advised to stay out. I said, what kind of military activity? And he just completely ignored me, got in the van, and they all drove off. So at that point, I went back into the formation. I've got a device with me that measures radiation levels, which I always use to test if there's any kind of residual radiation or something. So when I got in the formation, I was just sweeping it around and didn't really notice anything significant. I'd say around about 9:30, then the military activity began, which he predicted, and there was a lot of helicopters, Apache helicopters, Lynx, Gazelle, and they're all circling continually the East Field, more than normal. That went on for an hour. By this time, there were quite a lot of people come to look at it. By the way, I recorded all this on video. About 11:30, one helicopter appeared. It was a Gazelle. It came down the valley very low. It took up a hovering position above the formation, stayed there for a while. And then it dropped down and started making very, very low-level passes over the formation, all over the people in the formation, including me. It was very intimidating. And at one point, almost landed in the formation. It was extremely low. This went on for, I've got it on the clock, from 11:30 till 12:30. Going towards 12:30, it was still there, and it moved over towards Knapp Hill, dropped down, and then came very, very slowly across the field at ground level. And as it got to the formation, it rose slightly in the air and hovered. And almost immediately, myself and together with a few other people started to feel very unwell. It came on very, very suddenly, coincidentally, when this helicopter appeared. I started to get a headache, a very strong headache, felt quite nauseous. My mouth was very dry and my ears were popping. And I immediately noticed there were two other people standing in the same circle, and I noticed they were behaving rather strangely. So I went across and I said, do you feel very unwell? And they said, yeah, that's strange, isn't it? The helicopter by that point had gone.
Andy, did you see anything sprayed in the air from that helicopter?
No. This was on the Monday, but that was the prelude to what happened on the Wednesday, which was even worse. But I had the dose rate meter on, and I noticed the readout on it had gone up significantly from zero to probably between 60 and 80. It was fluctuating.
And what do you hypothesize that that helicopter had done over all of you? What was it emitting?
Well, the only thing I can think of is, I go back to Freddie Silver, because in his book, Secrets of the Fields, he noted a similar phenomenon. He was in a formation in the same field, and a black helicopter came over, and he felt, again, the same, you know, symptoms, headache, nausea. And he put it down to infrasound. That's what happened on the Monday. But on the Wednesday morning,
which would be July 18th, correct?
Yeah, Wednesday the 18th of July. And at precisely 12:47, I looked down the valley towards Martinsville Hill, which is not that far away, and I saw three bright lights in the sky, sort of in alignment, and they were hovering fairly low down, just below the height of Martinsville Hill. They were coming towards me, heading straight for the formation. And there were three helicopters. I've never seen these helicopters before. I'm used to most of the helicopters here, but these were very, very large, black, unmarked helicopters, and they were flying side by side. As they got, I'd say, halfway down the valley, they broke formation. The helicopter on the left moved towards the side of the hills. They were very low down. Helicopter on the right moved to the right, and the helicopter in the center carried on until they arrived at the formation. And then for the next, I've got it 12:47, I'd say for the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, all three helicopters circled the formation at very, very low level. And the helicopter in the middle came down extremely low. They were very, very intimidating. They were big helicopters. The only comparison I can make is a friend of mine who knows Gordon Stewart. He's an aircraft expert. One afternoon we went to, I think it was Middle Wallop, the Army Air Corps base, and we saw a helicopter very similar to one of these helicopters, and Dave said instantly, that's an SAS, Special Forces. The other two helicopters seemed to be, they were circling all the time around the formation, whereas the other helicopter would come down and hover at a very low level. So I've got a very good view of it. Looked at it on the video. I cannot see any markings on it whatsoever. It seemed to be completely unmarked, black and big. There were quite a few people in the formation, and they were very, very scared by this. I mean, some people ran out of the formation. And these helicopters were obviously very intimidating. But the final sort of close encounter, if you like, the helicopter came back down again. And on the third time, it was a lot worse, quite severe vomiting.
Wow.
And I was throwing up quite badly, actually. There was a terrible smell, a sulfury smell. It was very, very powerful. It made my eyes burn. And I noticed quite a few people, maybe half a dozen people as well, they were quite severely affected. I saw one man throwing up into the crop. I was actually shouting to these people to get out, which we did. The other thing was, I got the dose rate meter, and it had shot up very, very high, between 300 and 500. It says on the alarm threshold is 275. If it goes higher than 275, that signifies there's a significant radiation risk, because this meter's used in nuclear power stations to measure radiation levels. If it goes above that level, it gives off a signal, which it was giving off at the time, meaning basically get out of the place. It's dangerous.
And I have now talked, George, with other eyewitnesses of the July 18th events. Jill Nicholas, I've known her for years. She has been visiting crop formations in Wiltshire since going back at least 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she has seen helicopters circle over crop formations before. But she told me by phone that she has never seen any helicopters as big and solid black as what she saw on July 18th, like what Andy was just describing. And Jill was at the Eastfield silage pit with her Australian friend Megan when both women watched a very large, all-black, unmarked helicopter come down within, she said it could not have been more than 10 to 15 feet above the heads of a young couple standing in one of the circles. And the couple hurried out of the field, clearly upset by the low hovering chopper. And then across the road from the east field, the two women watched another helicopter hovering between Tosmead Copse and Woodboro Hill. And Jill said that helicopter was, and this is a quote, discharging a gas that was spiraling from the helicopter over the crop, unquote. Jill said the gas spray was a gray color. And then further down the field toward Woodboro Hill, two other friends were videotaping the east field. Fouquet and Connie Coutier from Holland both saw, and these are their words, two projectiles come out of a helicopter right before a pink cloud of smoke could be seen in the air that Andy also saw from where he was over toward the east field. The Coutiers, Andy Buckley, and others looked in the fields between Woodboro Hill and the East Field for any objects that might have been dropped, but so far nothing unusual has been found. Nobody knows what the projectiles were, what the gas was, what the pink cloud was, or why helicopters would be coming down and doing something in the fields that would cause a decimeter to rise and make some people vomit. Now, Andy Buckley did go to the owners of the East Field, and he asked Tim Carson, who he knows, if he, Tim Carson, knew anything about what the helicopters were doing. Andy also asked about an unknown, unidentified South African man driving a large silver Hummer vehicle. Andy and others have encountered this Hummer driver, who seems very hostile but will not talk to anyone.
Strange.
Yeah. Even though Andy has known Tim Carson for several years and has discussed crop formations with him, Tim Carson did not want to talk to Andy in the week of July 16th to 20th while white unmarked vans collected plant samples from the East Field and all the unidentified military helicopters kept flying low over the field, scaring and making visitors sick. Now, another significant consequence of this entire East Field event is that the Daily Mail and other British press are reporting on this East Field formation seriously, George, maybe this is the first time since 1991 that it's not being dismissed as the work of Doug and Dave, which is impossible because one of those gentlemen died a few years ago. But instead of trying to, let's say, ridicule, they are writing extremely seriously. There were at least a dozen media at the press conference. And Lucy Pringle, a longtime friend and investigator and a wonderful aerial photographer, she told me recently that finally even her own previously skeptical friends are beginning to open their minds. She has a brand new crop circle book out in England and the United States with the title Crop Circles, Art in the Landscape. It is truly perhaps the most beautiful book that I have seen. It is solid photographs over the years, large, beautifully done. And she told me that recently, as her book was coming from the printers, it's just out, and I'll have all kinds of information about it at Earth Files this coming week with an interview that I've done with Lucy. But she said she'd just gotten some of the first copies, and one of her skeptical friends was at her house, and Lucy just handed her her new book just for, just you know, the, any feedback. And this was a person who had always sort of smiled funny when Lucy talked about crop formations, and she picked up this new book, Circles of Art in the Landscape. And as she started turning through the photographs, Lucy said she turned to Lucy for the first time in her life, and she said, but these are extraordinary. No one could make these. And that seems to be what is beginning to dawn, finally, on people in the wake of 16 years of the original lie of Doug and Dave. It is a significant phenomenon. It is associated with energy systems that are interacting with crops that can make these incredible patterns, in this case in the East Field, something 1,033 feet long, nearly 500 feet wide. And according to the analysis of the eyewitnesses, Terry Toftanis, and the at least the video frame and time code that they had on one of the cameras, that after the flash of light at 3.08 a.m., they did see the first shadow in the field by 3.20 a.m. What they don't know is exactly when it came, but that's why the British press are calling this the 90-minute crop formation, and this could be a turning point, George, finally, for the media and for the public to realize something extraordinary is interacting with this planet, and we should all, I think, be paying attention.
And is it tied in at all to the story, the UFO story you're going to tell us about next hour?
Well, see, that's a question that keeps coming up. Why are there these flaps of all these extraordinary lights that come in waves? Do they anticipate something coming, George, or are they after an event? We don't know the answer. There's no question that mysterious lights have been associated with crop formations for a quarter of a century. That's the title of my own book, Mysterious Lights and Crop Circles. The lights, though, over this amazing pub in Stratford-upon-Avon that at least 100 people at the Lone Elm Pub watched on July 14th, a Saturday night, and is extraordinary and is being treated also with respect in the British press.
That's true. And we're going to talk about that, Linda, when we come right back.